Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Oh man, there were so many twists and turns on this episode of Pennyworth. Alfred, he's seeing dead people, and someone is saying that she is in love. We're going to talk all about it starting right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? Thank you again for joining us on another after show of Pennyworth. We're so happy to be back and just to talk about this amazing episode. I'm your host, Benny Adams, and before we get into everything, I want to introduce you guys to my amazing co-host. First of all, I'm AKA Pennyworth. Right next to me is Anais, AKA Anna Nightwing.
A Nightwing. Thank you. And a shout out to Zack Snyder, who follows me on Vero. I love Zack Snyder. Hashtag
shout out to Zack Snyder.
Release the Snyder cut. Just saying. All right.
Wow.
And then right next to Anna East, we have Ben, Mr. AKA Robin.
Oh, yeah. What's up, people? Thanks so much for having me again. And I'm really jealous now. Why is he following you?
You have to ask him. Ask our
Zach, what's happening? We have to step up our game.
Yeah. Follow me.
Are you wearing an I Love Zack Snyder shirt? And I actually made this shirt, too. So, you know, I went the extra mile. Ooh. You know.
And last but not least, Miss Sherry, a.k.a. Sherryworth.
Hey, everybody. So excited to be talking Pennyworth with the panel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was such a good episode. But before I get into what I thought about this episode, what did you guys think about this episode?
Oh my god, I mean, a lot of there was sex in it, you know? I was like,
he's,
really?
He's not used to it, he's too young,
oh my god, I can't even look.
Sex in a dark,
I was like,
rated.
I've never seen sex before in my life, you know? I was like, damn. Yeah, people almost got killed, and then a funeral, I was like, wow, there was
and
a
then,
lot of
you know,
stuff.
And then, heads getting literally blown off, so, you know, yeah. It's not free to go there, and I love it.
I think
it.
The best episode so far, if you ask me. The most exciting one.
What about you guys?
Rob Bailey, who directed tonight's episode, did a phenomenal job with the cast, with the lighting, with everyone looking, everyone clear. I was blown away when we saw the bedroom games. Because I was like, well, why is she doing that? What's going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, we're using our sexuality to get the job done. So...
That's
much
right.
Respect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Miss Anna Nightwing.
Well, yeah, we had you know, the action, obviously, and also I really liked that, you know, we started off with the funeral. I think we, you know, had a good amount of, they gave it like proper time there with the funeral and seeing, you know, Alfred grieve, which was so beautiful. I thought Jack Bannon, like, oh, I felt for him when he was crying. I just wanted to give him a hug. And I think they did such a good job in just kind of seeing him grieve. And then seeing, you know, Bette kind of react to it, which I wanted to see. So I'm glad we saw that. And then seeing also Alfred's parents, you know, how they reacted to it. Which I want to talk about
a
bit later.
Yeah, so usually if I'm watching something, we're on the fifth episode, correct? I'm usually saying something like, you know, it was a good episode. It could have been better. So far, I have not seen that with this show. Like, every single episode has been amazing, and they keep getting better and better.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to the writers, the directors, the actors, just everyone involved in this show, because you can tell the hard work that they put in this.
I just wanted to say the storyline is amazing, as we all know, but I also feel like now you can see the variety and the diversity of the actors, too. I think Jack Bannon showed in this episode that he is not just this cocky, like, Cockney guy or something like that, or posh guy in a way, too, right? That he can also has a very, like, emotional side, yeah. And basically very down, and he has to figure it out now. He's not the high level guy who knows what he's doing, right?
So,
and another person who kind of showed another side was his dad. Like, I thought it was so sweet when he was like taking care of him, like shaving him, like trying to give him biscuits. I was like, because I hadn't really seen that before. Like, he was always like kind of so mean to Alfred, and it was like, okay, well, it's nice that, you know, now in his time of need, like, you know, his dad knows how to be more nurturing. It's nice to know that he actually has that in him.
So. Right. Well, speaking of Alfred, let's talk about him. Mm. You know, the guy is not doing well whatsoever. No. And, you know, rightfully so. He just lost his fiance in a very brutal manner. So we find out that he is seeing dead people, which mind boggled me. What did you guys think? What did that mean to you guys with him seeing two dead people?
I mean, it's just a metaphor for me, to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. It's not really that he sees dead people, obviously. I mean, maybe he sees it in the show, but I think we all can relate to that, that at some point, if we are in a bad position, if we are down or something happened to us, we kind of remember what we also did in the past, and we start to comparing stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we're trying to help ourselves in a way by remembering what we did and trying to make it better in the future.
Right.
So I think that's the kind of scenario that he was facing in that point, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going through a lot.
Yeah.
And we keep forgetting he's only 24, I think, 26. Years old, 26.
Yeah.
And to
baby.
Lose his fiance, all the while knowing that he'd done something that she asked him not to do, and he was kind of flirting with another woman while she was being murdered, has to shake him. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is, as he'd said to Esme before, when you're in war and you're going through that, you have a lot of pain and bad memories, and I think it's just normally he pushes it down, and it's all bubbling up because he's a little fractured.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just like guilt of some of the things he's involved with shows, like he has a conscience. He's like, he doesn't necessarily like enjoy like the violence or anything he's doing it because he kind of like has had to, but he's, you know, haunted by everything he's had to do.
But what I just wanted to add to that point is when we are at the funeral, right, there's Martha, right, that's her name, she's basically standing outside and is watching it, and I find that scene very interesting also for our personal lives. If you really think about it, sometimes something bad is happening to you, and then you just ask yourself, was there something in the past that I could have done for not having something like that happening to me in my life? And that was a very interesting scene, because I was thinking about it. If Martha would have never come to him and asked him to help him or to help her with this kind of scenario and this kind of mission or something, maybe she would be still alive.
Right.
That's why she blames herself.
Exactly. Right. And I kind of understand. And I was like, but Jack, at some point, he never really felt that way, I feel like. That, or he never really shows himself in a way that he's giving her basically a lot of stuff that she's responsible for his fiance's death now. Right. I don't feel that way.
He's himself. Not talking to her.
No, he's not talking to her, but I also didn't really have the feeling that he was kind of really angry about her.
Well, I mean, angry at her? It's really not her fault.
It's not her fault. Yeah. But maybe I would be the same. Maybe I would be different in this position, because I was like, damn, if I would have never met you, maybe my fiance would be
But that would be wrong, though.
I know, exactly.
It's not that person's fault.
I know, but think about this emotional journey that you go through. You basically, let's just lose someone.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel if you maybe have an understanding, you go back all the dates and all the time and all the months that you may be working with Martha right now, and you just ask yourself, if I would have never met this woman, maybe my fiance would still sit next to me right now.
Well, she's
just,
still,
you know what I'm talking about.
I want to touch on Martha a little bit, because Martha, she's going through a tough time, just like Alfred. And you guys mentioned it, you know, Martha, she blamed herself and she said this was on her. Mm-hmm. And something interesting that Alfred said is Alfred said the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, he blamed himself.
Yeah.
And so my question to you is, do you think they're blaming themselves because of that little kiss that happened? If the kiss never happened, do you think they would still blame themselves?
No, I don't think it's because of the kiss. I think it's just because, I mean, maybe more Alfred because of the kiss, maybe. But then I think Martha's just like, because they were away on the mission more than like the kiss. I don't think it's really because of the kiss.
Well,
I think it's just like an additional
house.
Thing. It's an additional thing maybe to feel guilty about, but I don't think it's...
If he hadn't gone to her house, if he'd gone straight home like he should have, it'd all been fine and good, sort of. But those people did have keys to get in the house, so yeah. Who knows who the heck they were.
Right. I mean, I have a feeling that Martha, she kind of loves him already in a way, or she fell in love a little bit with Jack. I think she's in between her job that she's working for, right? She has that mission, and then the no-name league is coming back to her saying, hey, we have this next job for you. But on the other hand, she feels for this guy already, right? But Mr. Wayne comes in and says, hey, you have to do that with me. We have to basically convince him that he's getting back on track with us.
Right.
And I think she's kind of in between. Oh, my God, I kind of like this guy emotionally, but I then have a job and I have to do it right. So what do I do?
Yeah.
So that's what I felt when I saw her in the scene, you know? Mm-hmm.
And also, I just want to say visually, like, just it was kind of interesting for me to see both Martha and Thomas together at... you know, the funeral, because usually with Batman we're used to seeing Bruce at his like parents' funeral, so like seeing them, even though it's not you know, for Bruce obviously the funeral, but like just seeing them at a funeral for once, it's just kind of like I got kind of like deja vu, like but just like seeing them in like the position that Bruce was in was like interesting for me just visually.
It was interesting the way that Thomas Wayne spoke about Pennyworth as if he wasn't a real person to him.
Like, he's useful or something.
Right. Which I thought was interesting. And I think she does like Pennyworth, but I don't think she's in love
with
him.
Yeah, I don't think she's
They're
in love with
sort
him.
Sort of like,
that's
she
a lot
has
of
some fun.
Interesting.
Yes. Because she's got a finger in the spy, and this is all, like, very fun. It's very exciting. But
it's
this isn't her real world.
They're getting traction.
Yeah, she's wealthy. She's going to go back to being a wealthy person, eventually marrying Bruce Wayne. So she's just like, slumming it for a little while. She's like, it might be kind of fun to hook up.
There's definitely like an attraction, but I don't sense the like a love. Yeah,
you guys, I'm a romantic. What can I
you
say?
You are.
He
a
just
romantic.
Wants him to.
I love everybody.
He just wants Bruce to not exist. So
that's
he
right.
wants Martha and Ralph to
I
get
want
together.
You, Martha. Like I want Martha.
Hey, you never know. We still might have a couple more seasons. There's a possibility.
I live in downtown LA.
There's a possibility.
Me too.
Oh yeah.
She All right, so. We find out that Alfred wants nothing to do with the Gnome Name Society after Martha comes to him with the job. He turns her down, and then an unlikely person comes to Alfred to try to help him out, John Ripper, and this completely caught me off guard. You know, they go running together. He tries to, you know, get him on the right track. And he then tells Alfred some pretty interesting news that the person who killed Esme is someone that has a deep hate for him.
Right.
What did you guys think about all that? About
I thought
that
was obvious. Like, I was like, really, Alfred? You couldn't, like, think that? I really did not think that Alfred would be so naive to be like, oh, it's just a home robbery gone wrong. I'd be like, really? Like, you know the kind of job you do? There's got to be people that hate you that want to, like, you know, go after your loved ones. You know, this is something, you know, all, like, heroes have to deal with, like, their loved ones being in danger. So it's like, I just thought that was like really naive of him. I'm like, duh, of course it's someone that hates you that killed her.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, for me, it really, this episode really feels like that Jack is like a puppet for almost everyone in this episode. That's how it feels to me. I mean, John Ripper, he does the whole scenario on purpose, obviously, right? Because as we see at the end, you know why he wants him to do all
right,
that,
exactly.
obviously, right?
Exactly.
So, but it's very interesting because I felt the same way. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see John Ripper coming through the door, to be honest. So that was very interesting. And then going on around, like Rocky kind of style.
Yes,
you know? So
please. I love that Rocky scene.
I felt like back in Philly or something.
The British Rocky. It's a British Rocky right there.
So it was interesting,
It was interesting the way John Ripper reminded him he owed him for a favor.
Yeah.
And it was very malevolent. And also how when the mom walked in, she was like, oh, crap. What's he doing in my house? And I have to say, after watching the episodes, because I've watched it twice now, I'm almost wondering if this is all part of his steps to get Pennyworth to owe him a favor, to bring him in as his person.
Yeah.
And maybe he was the one that engineered the death of Esme. Or it was him and the leader of the Mrs. Spicer No Man's League.
Yeah, I feel
League.
I like that. That's a good prediction.
I feel like everyone has a secret agenda on this show. Yeah. Like, no one is what they seem. But so Alfred, even though he decided to not work with the No Name League, he decides to work for Mr. Ripper, And we're going to go into that a little bit later. But first, I want to get into Thomas Wayne's storyline. And I want to first start out with him at the funeral. And was it just me, or it just didn't seem like he felt sad for Esme's death? Everyone was very somber. Thomas was just all about business. Like, what did you guys think about Thomas's reaction?
I think he is a businessman at the end of the day, right? I mean, as we also realize, he's working for the CIA, right? So I think he has a job to do. That's what he came for. That's why he came to the UK to make it work, right? I think he's trying to be that business guy from the outside, but I think he's still kind of an emotional person in the inside, but he can't really show it.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm hoping that we're going to see more of that in the future in the next episode.
He just doesn't strike me as like, I mean, I wouldn't expect him to be like crying or anything. No. Like, yeah, so. No. Yeah.
I don't see him crying, though, but opening up a little more, I feel.
Analytically speaking, he didn't know Esme. He doesn't really look at Pennyworth as a real person.
Right,
true. So it's like, oh, that's terrible. I need you to go do this right now. Right. Are you done crying? Because she's been dead for like a month now. What's up with you? And I have to say, is Thomas Wayne worse than Mr. Ripper, for instance, who does the killing himself? Or because he's the one that wants to do a step away and order other people to do it, is he not kind of like a bad person as well, but in a different way? Because at least Mr. Ripper gets down and dirty and, you know, he's honest about it.
Wow.
Thomas Wayne is like, I don't want to kill anyone, but I want them dead.
Well, that's the power of being rich. You pay people to do your dirty work.
So the thing with what I think about this is, Thomas doesn't want to kill people, like you said. Ripper, he wants to kill people. And so I kind of think John Ripper is more evil than Thomas.
But when you think about it, Thomas Wayne is American, and they're interfering with the British government, which the USA does. A lot of governments do. Right. With their government trying to overthrow the British monarchy for whatever reason. And it's like, huh. Shouldn't he be in Gotham taking care of your business?
Right.
But sort of, I mean, I think he's an interesting character, and he's not, and it's really making me look at him differently, and I keep thinking, maybe you got shot in that alley for a reason. Maybe y'all made some enemies that followed you.
Right. He's all about peace and freedom, too. Just because he's American doesn't mean he can't be for peace and freedom.
I mean, let's talk about the CIA.
Right. Yeah. Well, before we get into the CIA, so Thomas, he goes to meet the leader of the Raven Society and his wife. And
No Name League.
No Name League. Thank you. He meets the leader of the No Name League and his wife. And he instructs Thomas that they are going to meet with the leader of the Raven Society and say they want a truce, but kill her afterwards. Thomas, he doesn't want to do this. And then we find out that he actually worked for the CIA. Were you guys shocked when you guys found out about that?
Not really.
Really? I was shocked.
I was like, are you kidding me?
I felt he had a secret in a way.
Yeah, me too.
I was surprised. The CIA?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the CIA. I mean, but I wasn't sure why he was over in England messing with their democracy in general. But
that's right.
I have to say that the leader of the No Name League was a condescending, sexist nitwit. And every word out of his mouth, it was interesting watching how his wife would be like, you keep talking.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Yeah,
that's true.
It was interesting. And I think that was why he was so dismissive of Dr. Gaunt when she got to be the leader as well, because it felt like, I'm not sure what the No Name League is about versus the Raven Society, but it feels almost like the No Name League is more patriarchal and more male-led, and the Raven Society is male, female leaders and respectful.
I mean, I thought a doctor was dead, so I was kind of surprised that she still came back into the picture. You know,
well, they said that they weren't there to kill her; they just wanted her name.
Oh, really? I thought she looked
back
to me.
She cannot be killed, that lady.
I mean, they hit her; they knocked her around a bit.
She looked pretty bad to me.
She's invincible.
I'm glad they didn't kill her. I actually really like her character. She's interesting to me. She's very interesting.
Badass.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I will not close my eyes.
Yeah. She's very calm and collected.
She has this Joker kind of attitude a little bit too, you know what I mean? Just a little
She's
bit.
Definitely cool.
Yeah.
So you guys weren't surprised that Thomas is with the CIA. Were you guys surprised that the CIA was for that plan of the leader of the Raven Society to be killed?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, they do a lot of things that maybe are not.
Honestly, to answer that question, I totally get the question, right? But I think we need more background information on why the CIA is in the UK and why mm-hmm. this is all happening to, in order to be able to say if that's surprising or not, to be honest. So I can't really answer that. Maybe we have to watch the next episode right. to see.
Yeah, like yeah. I still am trying to figure yeah. out, they both want to overthrow the monarchy.
Right.
But it feels like the Raven Society wants to keep the monarchy there. They just want to be in charge.
Sure.
Right.
And it feels like the No Name League wants to totally take over the government and just smash it about. So it kind of makes sense for the USA to be behind the No Name League so that they could put their own people in power. But I'm still trying to figure it out because, yeah. like Dr. Gantz said in the last episode, dear, we both kill and kidnap people. Yeah. What are you talking about, Martha? You don't know the people you're working
right.
with.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't want to make new friends, just a new horizon, isn't yeah. it, right? I love that line. That was the best line of this episode, right? That she just skipped the new friends and just says new horizon? Man.
That was pretty good.
That was brilliant.
That was pretty good. Brilliant. All right, before we get on to anything else, we have a special announcement that we want to tell you guys.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for checking us out tonight again, for joining us every week. We really love what we're doing, and you guys make us the ESPN of TV Talk, so we really enjoy that. And if you're on YouTube right now, please give up like 5 thumbs up. I'm always saying 5 thumbs up because that's my thing. I like to say that, right? And also 5 stars, please, because we want to continue doing that, right? We like a family here. We like that, and we also like to hear you and basically share your comments too. So if you have any comments, opinions about the episode, please write us on YouTube. We are more than happy to answer you back. So thank you so much one more time.
Thank you, guys. We really do appreciate it. All right, so I want to talk about Bette Sykes, but before we get into Bette Sykes, I want to talk about that big shootout that happened at the restaurant. Mm. So it completely caught me off guard when the leader of the Raven Society didn't die whatsoever. Instead, the leader of the No Name League dies. Then when Dave Boy mm-hmm. when Dave Boy is about to shoot her, right. he stalls and then he gets shot and she wants to help him.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about that?
I was shocked. That was a little weird to me, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know.
The whole scene, to be honest, in the restaurant was a little weird to me. I didn't right. really get it, to be honest. Until now, I don't get it.
I was just like, why did he hesitate? Like, if you're going to, like, why are you warning her? Like, hey, that's basically like when he was like, oh, can you close your eyes? It's basically saying, hey, I'm right. about to shoot you. Like, just do it.
That was the only moment where I felt that had to be in the script to move the story forward. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was a little too obvious to me. I totally understand the lighting and the whole storyline and how they filmed mm-hmm. it and everything was great, but I think this moment was too obvious to me to move the story forward.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Dave Boy doesn't strike me, none of them really strike me as the type that normally would have killed women, mm. per se. So I totally understand how he'd say, close your eyes because I don't feel comfortable you looking me in the eye.
True.
As I shoot you.
But he did say he liked killing, earlier.
He likes killing men. Oh. I don't think he kills women.
I think it was I don't think he kills children either.
Because, Pennyworth also hesitates about killing women. Like, mm-hmm. they're totally cool with killing men. They're like, whatever, F you.
Right.
But a woman and a child, they have mm-hmm. their moral compass of not wanting to do that. Like, last episode, they said, I didn't mean to kill her. That was an accident, dude. Hey, back up. Right. And we're not here to kill you. We're strictly here to get the information. And he's very clear about what he will or will not do.
Right.
And for the restaurant, I thought it was interesting because it was so many double crosses as well as conflicting plans to get their power, or like I'd say a coup within the No Name Group League, because, you know, Mr. Spicer would never have given his wife that power because he was so condescending just in general. Like, before they even came up, they were having that fight And she's like, you're so condescending. She was like hot, super hot. So that was all you're interested. Right. And I honestly think that originally they would have thought that Dave Boy was going to kill Dr. Gaunt, and then Pennyworth would come in and then kill him. And then they'd only, that was what I think Mrs. Spicer was thinking, was hoping would move forward,
right.
was the other two people would be killed, right. and then she'd take over both groups.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And see, this is why I'm starting to like Frances now. I'm glad that she wasn't killed off, because she's so mysterious now. Why is the leader of the Raven Society helping this guy who just tried to kill her?
Right.
She's a doctor.
That's, but...
Do no harm.
But he just tried to kill her, though. Like, if someone tried to kill me, I'm not gonna try and help them. Like, I'm gonna be... She didn't even run away.
Just tough. And like she said the last time when they were all, like, fighting it out at their house, that's the price of overthrow. Uh-huh. People get killed.
Yeah.
You get shot. She's like, oh, yeah, hey.
Right. I don't really feel like, for me, she's not a typical killer. Mm-hmm. I think she's not a person who's just cold and just goes outside mm-hmm. and just kills people randomly. I think she's not that person. For somehow, she helps him, right? So mm-hmm. she must have kind of a heart somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Has something. But that's the mysterious part. And I think that makes her character so interesting, to be like, but why do you help him now? Because you just wanted to kill him. So I would think we're going to see a lot more of her.
And I feel like that's something, I don't know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Batman, because like Batman has done stuff like that too, where like someone tried to kill him, but then he'll try to like help them too, just because, you know, he doesn't kill or anything. Yeah. So it just kind of reminded me of him.
And also Dr. Gaunt, even with people that she's killed in the past, she wants to bury them and have their names. So she's like, what's your name? So we can tell your people you're dead and give them your body back. I mean, she, like Pennyworth, have a moral compass of how she behaves. And how she behaves is she does what's necessary. She doesn't take pleasure in doing anything. Things.
Right.
She does what's necessary and she does what she needs to.
Right.
And that sounds good. I can see that.
Speaking of someone who does something what she needs to, I want to real quick talk about the wife of the leader of the No Name League. We find out that she's sleeping with John Ripper.
Undine.
Shocker. OMG.
Not really. If you ask me, I mean, they're all having sex out of a sudden. Damn.
Do you think, real quick, you guys, do you think that she is really in love with John, or she's using John also to get to the top?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. She's power hungry. It's a love made in pursuit of power. Mm-hmm. He wants to expand his power from beyond just Whitechapel or his neighborhood. Yeah. And she wants to take over the government.
Yeah.
And so, like she was saying when she was in bed with him, I don't feel anything. I thought I'd feel something. He's like, well, what do you think it feels? Unspoken are the words of, I've killed numerous people, and I don't give a crap.
Right.
I don't know. I got that she kind of did have some feelings for John, not for her husband, obviously, because she didn't feel anything. Like, I could see, like, even when like, during that scene when he got shot, like, I was, like, noticing, I'm like, wait, she doesn't look, like, upset or anything that her husband just got his head blown off. But I did feel like maybe... you know, there's some kind of attraction. I don't know about love, but she's definitely like, let me just, you know, use a little bit of attraction I have and try to get some power.
I mean, guys, be honest, sex is not a bad thing. Come on.
That's why everyone's doing it.
Right? All right, well, speaking of sex, Alfred.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
The bartender. Do you guys think that was too soon? For that to happen, what did you guys think about all that?
Definitely too soon.
A little bit, but, you know, maybe that's just the way he deals with loss.
Oh, man, Ryan, I love you, man.
That's
I love
so
you.
Cool. But, thank you.
You know, that does happen in real life, okay? And some people, that's just how, you know, they deal with it. And, I mean, I kind of was not surprised, because just like throughout the whole episode, the way she would look at him, and I'm like, oh gosh, she has a crush on him. I mean, how could you not? I mean, he's a cutie.
And so, he saved her.
Yeah, exactly. So that automatically is going to make you more attracted to him. So I was not surprised.
But it makes me questioning the feelings that he really had for her, his fiance, to be honest. Because I was like, how can you have sex with someone like after a month after your fiance?
You're in a very like vulnerable position right there. And like after that, you know, something like that happened. And it's like, he's never going to get his love back. So, like, I'm saying, like, that's, people do that. Like,
oh, that's how we.
I'm just saying, it's okay. Not the first time I've heard of that happening. Oh, that's why I'm not surprised.
I think it's him trying to fill a void.
Yeah, for sure.
That's gone. That's not there in his life anymore.
But you can just have a normal, good conversation about stuff. You don't have to have.
Okay,
sex
not everyone
right
is
away.
Like you. Yeah. Okay.
And it's interesting because if you really look at it, he and Esme fell in love really quickly.
Yeah.
And it feels like he came back for more and he's looking for something.
Yeah, I don't think he's like trying to like be in a relationship with this girl. It's just like kind of like a temporary thing. Like, let's have some fun. Like, I just want to feel good, like, just for like this few minutes, however this is long is going to last. Like, you know, because he's been feeling awful, obviously. So it's like, let me just have this little bit of joy right now.
Just for a minute.
You know? Right.
And you know, when
hopefully
you think
about longer.
It, his mom, like, he's looking at his mother and father, that their partnership and their love, and that's what he wants as well.
Right. Yeah.
And he's looking around trying to figure it out, because,
I
you
mean,
know.
Have you not heard of that saying, the best way to get over someone is to get inside someone?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Under. Wow. Get under someone.
Well, speaking of love, let's go to Bet Sykes, who... Yes,
love.
I love Bet also. She said that she loved Esme.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we find out this big shocker that she saw, or she didn't see the two people, but she saw two people.
A man and a woman.
Right, walk into Esme's place.
And use a key.
Yes, and use a key. So
it's a realtor. They're the ones that killed Esme, obviously. So they had
it
a
might
key.
Be your
no,
dad.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Because you know he wouldn't be happy that. She's bringing their family name down by marrying.
I was surprised we didn't see. Like, I thought his dad was gonna her dad was gonna go up to Alfred and be like, "This is all your fault." Like, I thought there was gonna be something between like the dad and Alfred, maybe later on. But like, I seriously was scared. I was like, "He's gonna blame this on Alfred."
The dad
blah, blah, blah.
Would not talk to him.
Yeah,
not at all.
It's the guy in the bar.
The guy in the bar,
his daughter.
You never. I don't even know. I can't even like think about who it would be. To be completely honest, but one thing I really liked about Bet in this episode is we got to see another layer of her. You know, we didn't just see this pure villain side of her. We saw this person who actually cared about this woman. She had strong feelings for her, and she felt genuinely bad about what happened. Real quick, what did you guys think about that?
That's one thing I put in my notes too, that, you know, she's like this multi-dimensional character that, you know, she's not all bad. She has a heart. I mean, she, you know, fell in love with this sweet girl, you know, Esme. And then she, you can see a little bit more of like her, just like how, I don't know, she has like a, you know, some compassion there, because when she saw Lord Harwood, she was like, Lord Harwood, she was like, I'm not leaving without him, you know? So, you know, I thought that was like pretty cool to see from her.
Yeah, I mean, she's a typical Joker for me, right? I think she's... I think she's like an evil person in a way, but she's very much like manipulated by her own emotions in a way, too. That's how I feel about her, right? She does... She's very emotional about people, but on the other hand...
I feel like that would be more Harley Quinn-ish than Joker.
I don't see her as a Harley Quinn.
No, for sure. But what I wanted to say is that... What I still ask myself the whole time, why do they have this almost naked guy and woman in the house?
They're just into BDSM. Some people like to get down with it.
If they would be attractive, I would get it, but come on.
Okay, like, old people like sex too, okay?
Very true.
But they don't even have sex.
They have to spice things up at that age,
okay? They're being paid to be humiliated by Peggy, and I almost think that's their house or something, but I know there's some sort of money... interchange.
Right.
Between Peggy and
whatever floats your boat, right?
Yes.
Whatever pays the rent,
boat. What did you guys think about Bet helping Lord Harwood?
I was not unexpected, because I really believe that Bet believed in the Raven Society, which is why she left her sister and was working for Lord Harwood. And when she saw him, she was like, I'm not leaving him behind. I mean, he's her guy. I really enjoyed that, and I am fascinated by Lord Harwood being emotionally and mentally broken, mm-hmm. and how that's going to play out for the rest of the season.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to our special segment of this episode.
No. Yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk about our favorite Catwoman interpretations. Yeah. There's been a lot of really awesome ones. So let's start with Miss Cherryworth.
Yeah.
My favorite, of course, is Eartha Kitt. She was the queen cat as a Catwoman. And she was probably the first one that I ever really saw and loved. So Eartha Kitt, meow.
Robin, who's your pick?
Meow. So my I'm not as good as she is. Sorry, I'm just trying so hard. But anyway, so my favorite Catwoman is Halle Berry. I mean, because she's sexy. Come on. I mean, look at that picture. Come on. Yeah. No one looks better than like her in that outfit. And I really, I know. I think it was always a little underrated. I think a lot of people gave a lot of stuff for her role in Catwoman. I think a lot of people didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, to be honest, because I feel she's a brilliant actress. She can do whatever she likes. She's very diverse. So I always liked it. So people, give her like a next chance. Maybe she can do it again because she's still in shape, guys. If you see pictures of her on Instagram,
she still looks good.
I was like, girl, I don't know how you do it,
but you
do something
right.
What do you eat? What do you drink? Tell me about that.
Pennyworth?
All right, mine is, I grew up with the Batman, the animated series in the 90s. And so I have to give it to, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Adrienne Barbeau. And this was such an iconic character. I loved whenever she was on an episode. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm so indecisive. I always pick multiple ones. So I had to go with Michelle Pfeiffer and Anne Hathaway because Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, I grew up with the Michael Keaton movies and I was so fascinated by her when in Batman Returns. I was like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. I love like the way she played her, like going like psycho and stuff. I love that. Mm-hmm. And then Anne Hathaway, I have to give her some credit because I think she really just like blew us away because when she first got cast, people were like, she cannot play Catwoman, blah, blah, blah. And then when I saw the movie, I wasn't a hater. I was like, let's see the movie first. So when I saw the movie, I was really impressed and I thought she did a great job. So those are our Catwoman picks. Yay.
Good picks, you guys. Yeah. Those are all really good. Okay, let's go to our news and gossip.
Oh, yeah. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about today is about a podcast that I wanted Guy to show you. So you have to listen to it because what happens is that Jack Bannon is talking a little bit about his character as Alfred Pennyworth. And he's trying to have a little bit like Michael Caine kind of style, but he's not trying to copy him. So listen what he's saying.
You know, obviously Michael Caine played Alfred and he's the one who said, I'll be a butler as long as he's ex-SAS. And because our story explores that, we owe that to him, so there's definitely a nod to him in the voice. And then, you know, I'm not playing a young version of Michael Caine, I'm playing a young Alfred, but if there were any, there's a nod to him.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about that yourself when you see like Jack Bannon playing Alfred today comparing with Michael Caine in the past? How do you feel about that?
That totally makes sense. That's because when I first saw the first episode, I was like, he reminds me so much of Michael Caine. But I didn't think he was copying Michael Caine, but I was like, I definitely, because I love Michael Caine as Alfred, so I definitely like, that's one of the things I loved about Jack Bannon is like the way he plays Alfred. It reminded me so much of the Alfred I love, which was Michael Caine.
I feel the same too. I don't know, what do you guys
think? Yeah, I like it. I think he encapsulates the Alfred that I grew up watching as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad he's giving like credit to like an OG.
I mean, Michael Caine, he's a legend for Alfred, right? So that you have to do something with him. So the next thing that I found is very interesting, too. I found an article about the executive producer, Bruno Heller, who also did Gotham, right? Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this article is that he's talking about that he actually likes the fact about Pennyworth without having superheroes in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very interesting if you think about it, because he's even saying in the article that if he would have had the chance to do Pennyworth before Gotham, he would have done it, which is very interesting. And I wanted to ask you guys and also the audience is, how do you feel about that, that we have a DC show today without any superhero in it?
I think it's awesome.
I like it. Yeah. I don't think it would be, I don't want to say it wouldn't be as good, but I just don't see it being the show that it is now if it had metahumans or people with superpowers on this show. It makes it more realistic.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about it. And I feel like I mean, Alfred's such a BA that, like, he is kind of like a superhero to me. Like, yeah. He's just so awesome. So mm-hmm. He's a superhero without the superpowers.
What do you think, Sherry?
I love it. So I don't mind not having any superheroes in it.
Mm-hmm. Me too, actually, because I believe you don't have to have superpowers in order to be a superhero.
Mm-hmm. And this is, you like, seriously, I mean? One of my favorite shows, like, just now, like, in general, and, like, it's a super, like, DC show, but no superheroes, so exactly. Yeah. Cool.
So also, you guys at home, please let us know what you think about it, you know? Do you feel like we need to have superheroes in kind of a DC show or Marvel show or whatever show? Let us know. And the last thing I wanted to talk about very quickly, very, very interesting, this guy, Ryan Unicom, maybe you heard of him before, he basically predicted before that Pattinson, Robert Pattinson is going to be the next Batman. Oh. And now a couple of days ago, he came up with that picture that there are rumors out there mm-hmm. right now that Pierce Brosnan is going to play Alfred Pennyworth in the new Batman.
Wow.
So what do you guys think about down for that?
That'd be really neat.
I can see that
Alfred.
Too. I mean, I'm a Pierce Brosnan fan. I like
him. I love him. He's a delight.
Please, guys, also at home, let us know what you feel about that.
All right, guys, let's go to predictions. What do you guys think is going to happen in the next episode?
I'm still thinking that Alfred and Martha, they're going to have a lot of sex, you know, because now everyone is starting to have sex, so they're going to do it as well.
Oh, man.
Boom, there
it's
you go.
It's a sexy show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Peggy and Bette are going to keep fighting, and I think we're going to see more of Bazza, who I think is using cocaine, and Dave Boy, whose temper issues is going to hamper his recovery.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more heads being blown off. Yeah. So I'm excited for that. And, you know, I feel like there's going to be some conflict between, like, Thomas and Martha, and I'm excited to see that because I don't want them to, like, fall in love and get together right away. I want to see, like, you know, some, you know, conflict going on before they actually get together.
I think the killer is going to be revealed. Esme's killer is going to be revealed a lot sooner than we think. It's going to completely catch us off guard. And I kind of have a feeling Pennyworth and Martha are going to continue, like you guys said, to hook up.
I think
it's gonna happen.
I like that movement.
These guys.
I think it's gonna happen.
That means sex people.
No.
Yeah. Like that.
No.
I don't want it to. I don't
they don't
want
want
it
Bruce
to.
Wayne to exist, okay?
But
I don't know why.
He can still exist. Wayne to be born. They're gonna break up, obviously.
But it'd be so weird for her to make him her butler. Like, we just had an affair and not be my butler. Like, what? That's weird.
Ryan, let's talk about sex.
All right, guys. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
Hi, you can find me on Instagram at MoreThanYouThink7 and Vero, where Zack Snyder follows me. It's Noah YT. Woo!
Yeah, everybody, this is Benjamin Schnau. You can find me on Instagram. It's at Benjamin Schnau, S-C-H-N-A-U. And also do the show The Terror on Monday, 7 p.m. And also on Tuesday, I do Bring the Funny at 9 p.m. Check it out.
You can find me, Cherry_LA, on Twitter and Instagram. And 6 p.m.'s the final season of Killjoys.
Woo! See you guys later.
Release us
our founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.